Welcome to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, where modern portfolio theory can suck it. A student of the school of Graham and Doddsville and a clergy member of the Church of Warren Buffett, here's your host, Eric Schlein.
Hi, this is Eric Schlein. You are listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, and today we have a guest who hasn't been on the show in quite a while, but last time he was on was super interesting. He goes by the handle DTEJD1997. He prefers to stay anonymous, but I can tell you this guy is incredibly smart, individual private investor, and prefers to stay private. So DTEJD1997, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Well,
welcome back to the show, really.
Great to be back, and thank you. Thank you for listening to me and indulging me in my opinions here.
No, I find it fascinating, and I've actually wanted to get you back on for some time, so I'm glad you've finally been able to make some time to come back on the show. You did a really interesting write-up on Microcap Club for Butler National. I was hoping you could talk to us a little bit about it for this episode.
Sure, of course. Yeah, it's a very interesting situation for a few different reasons.
Why don't you tell our listeners what the company is, what they do? Just give us a little background first.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me give a disclaimer here that, you know, it's not investment advice, and, you know, double check everything that I'm saying and verify everything for yourself. And also that a lot of the analysis that I did was towards the end of last year. So a little bit of it is outdated, but fortunately a lot of it has come to pass. So I'm sitting on a nice little gain here. You know, and just be aware I'm kind of talking my own book because I do own shares, and it has moved up quite nicely. But Butler National is a very interesting little microcap company. They're kind of a mini conglomerate, and they have two primary divisions that they operate. The first one is aerospace. And in aerospace, they're doing kind of sort of two or three different things. The primary thing is that certain classes of airplanes have to be retrofitted to comply with GPS positioning. These are smaller planes like Cessnas, Learjets, you know, not the big Boeings or Airbuses, but the type of airplanes, say, that, you know, medium-sized companies might have, or very small commuter airlines. So the FAA has mandated that they be brought up to work with the GPS global positioning systems. And Butler National does this retrofit work. And this retrofit work has to be done within a certain time frame, over approximately, at this point in time, approximately within the next year. So this is one of the very interesting catalysts also, in that there is currently and is going to be a rush by the airplane owners to have these airplanes, you know, comply with the FAA regulations. So that's one of their primary areas. Another area is that they do targeting and aiming systems for helicopter gunships, you know, stuff that's going over into Afghanistan and overseas. And then also they own a casino. Because what goes, you know, what do you think of when you think of aerospace? You think of, hey, you know, we need to get into casinos. So they own part of the Boot Hill Casino. They have a small partner that owns, I believe, 20% approximately of the casino. They own 80%. So they do, you know, the aerospace, they do casinos. And they also have kind of an oddball division that does professional services, primarily architecture and commercial interior design work. But that is very small in comparison to aerospace and gaming. So it's kind of an oddball little company here, and they've been public. Geez, they've been public for quite a while now, at least since the 90s, I think later than that. And, you know, the stock has gone up, the stock has gone down. And I've had it on my radar scope for quite a while now, but just never really took much interest in it until an associate of mine said, hey, take a look at Butler National. I think you're going to have improved earnings. You know, and as an investor, when you're reading or analyzing different companies, very few people say, hey, I think the company's going to have lower earnings. You know,
right.
Everybody
right.
always says, oh, it's going to have better earnings. But, you know, the guy who tipped me off, you know, he's a pretty serious guy. So I took a look at it. And the interesting thing is that if you went through, well, the last year's quarterly reports, you would see them talking about, you know, hey, the FAA regulation's going to come out, you know, and we're going to have a lot of work there, and it has to be done, you know, by this date, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we're having trouble even, in fact, hiring enough mechanics, you know, certified mechanics to do the work, and it's going to increase. And then the other very interesting thing, this has already actually come to pass, is that at the Boot Hill Casino, they purchased a bunch of primarily slot machines that, you know, are in use on the casino floor, you know, where the gamblers come up and, you know, do the gambling. And, of course, they're used in the business. And I don't know if you've been shopping for slot machines lately. Some of these things, when they're brand new, you know, can cost $5,000, $10,000 a piece or even more. So they're incredibly expensive machines. And what happened is that Butler got into a dispute with the state of Kansas. The state of Kansas said, oh, you know, you're buying these machines, you have to pay sales tax on them. You know, and Butler said, well, wait a minute, you know, this is being used in the business, and, you know, we don't think, you know, that that's appropriate, you know, because it's not a consumption item, it's being used in the business. So anyway, we're talking about millions of dollars worth of slot machines that they were paying sales tax on. And so they got into a lawsuit with the state. And to make a very long story short, the courts found for Butler, and they got quite a substantial tax refund on the sales tax that they paid on these machines. But the really interesting thing is that this was all public information that was being discussed in the quarterly reports and conference calls. You know, them saying, you know, hey, we're going to get a $600,000 tax rebate from the state of Kansas, and for a small company such as Butler, which at that point in time our market cap was about $17 million, you know, $600,000, $700,000 in cash is, you know, sizable amount for a company of that size. So if you did the work and you did the research, you would see that, well, hey, next quarter, these guys are going to get, you know, that cash refund from the state, and it's going to help the balance sheet. They're going to have good earnings. Also, these FAA contracts are rolling in. And, so anyway, to make a long story short, I was buying. I didn't get all of my orders filled, but I got some of them filled. And I was buying in, you know, under 25 cents a share. The stock today is at 36, 37 cents a share. It had been as high as to 43 cents a share or so after a couple weeks ago. But in the intervening time, you know, they got the money from the state of Kansas, and they've also done quite well with these FAA contracts. So they're making about 6 cents a share in earnings, and, you know, their balance sheet is improving. And that's another very interesting thing about Butler, is that the book value is about 53, 54 cents a share, somewhere in there. And I very strongly suspect that that book value is understated. And I suspect that because Butler owns several of the properties, you know, office buildings, that they're doing work out. You know, and we're talking about a small cap company here that even today, you know, with their run up in share price, the market cap is about $22, $23 million. So if you look at the buildings that they own, you know, the corporate headquarters, 9,000 square foot building, you know, how much is that worth? Well, I don't know, but could it be worth $900,000? I certainly think it could be. I mean, that's not, you know, outside the realm of possibility. They also own offices and manufacturing in Tempe, Arizona. They're about 16,000 square feet. They have another office that's about 11,000 square feet. And then another one, I think it's used in storage. It's about 29,000 square feet. So when you add that all up, you know, you come to maybe $5, $6, $7 million worth of property. So what I'm getting at here is that the book. Oh, and they also own several airplanes that they use to ferry around the executives of the company. But more importantly than that, they use them to train the mechanics on how to install the avionics gear. So the airplanes are dual purpose. So you come up with a company that is trading quite a bit under its stated book value, and that stated book value may be quite conservative. So there were just a lot of interesting catalysts here that were not really, you know, you kind of had to dig a little bit, you know, but I was able to figure it out, and I'm sure there are other people able to figure it out, but it's just not something that would jump out at you. And from time to time, you'll see this type of thing pop up in these little micro-cap companies. And, you know, if you have a large watch list and you can put the time and the effort into it, you'll find these little gems of opportunities that, you know, like with Butler National, I knew they were going to report good earnings the next quarter, you know, and the next upcoming year. From these FAA contracts. So this little Butler National has turned out to be a gem, and I think it will continue to be an interesting company. There's one other catalyst that is going on with them that still may be kind of, you know, one of these little hidden upside surprises. They own the casino in Boot Hill in terms of the buildings, but they have a land lease. So they do not actually own the land underneath it. And they are renting that. Now, as part of the rental of the land, they have an option to buy out that land. And off the top of my head, I can't say exactly how much that amount is. But if they purchase that land and they can get a mortgage on it, that will be less than their current rental payment. Now, they have not bought the land because, A, it would be quite an expensive purchase, But B, they have, I think, is it 3 or 4 more years of their gaming license? And that was initially, I believe, for a 15-year period. And they're trying to negotiate with the state to get a little bit early of a renewal of that license. So if they can get that license renewed for another 10 or 15-year period, then they will take out a mortgage to buy the land and more fully own that casino. And if they do that, I think that will unlock quite a bit more value in the company and will lead to yet even higher earnings.
Interesting.
And, yeah.
You know what, are you on headphones? I'm getting pretty bad feedback.
No, sorry about that. No, I'm just using the internal microphone of the laptop.
Do you have, I'll edit this out, but do you have headphones that you could use?
Not at this. I have headphones at the office, but I'm at my home.
Gotcha. Currently. Okay.
Yeah. You know, how much of that is usable, do you think?
It's usable until I start talking, basically.
It's weird because
it's fine now.
Okay, I'm not getting any feedback or any weird problems here on my end, and you're coming through perfect.
You wouldn't. It would be on my end. It's fine now. So while it's recording and it's okay, do you have any kind of? I think this is very interesting. The situation. Do you have any inkling or idea of what they might make over the next 5 years in earnings?
Well, over the next 5 years, to be perfectly honest with you, I haven't looked that far out, but I think it's well within the realm of possibility that in the next year to year and a half, you know, they could be making 10, 11, 12 cents a share.
Okay, so that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Yeah, even at, you know, price that has run up today. And, you know, through the years, let's be perfectly frank here, management they haven't been the best stewards of shareholder capital because obviously the stock is trading under its book value. You know, in some years they made money, in some years they've lost money, but they seem to have their attention a little bit more focused now than, say, 3, 4, 5 years ago. Another catalyst that has popped up.
What makes you say that?
Say what?
What makes you say that they're more focused now?
Oh, well, yeah, they're more focused now because if you listen into the conference calls, there are now some large activist shareholders that are actually getting on there and engaging with management and peppering them with questions. You know, hey, you know, the stock's trading below book value. You know, hey, when are you going to buy out the land underneath the casino? And they've actually discussed splitting the company in two and spinning out the casino and gaming division, which I think I'm a little color me skeptical. You know, a $22 million market cap company. I don't really see the benefit of them splitting into two separately publicly traded companies. But could another casino operator come in, perhaps, and buy up the casino?
Yeah, my thinking was you might do that to take part of it private, per se.
Yeah, take part of it private. In all actuality, you could make an argument that this shouldn't even be a public company. You know, sell off the casino and then have management buy out the aerospace and the remaining, you know, professional services, and they can run it however they want. They don't have to put up with the, you know, maybe angry isn't the right word, but the questioning shareholders, that are causing them, a little bit of grief on the conference calls. But you know, let's assume I'm correct and they're making 10, 11, 12 cents a share. If they can do that for a couple of years.
That's a very good rate of return.
Yes, very good rate of return. So it's interesting, you know, and I certainly wouldn't put all my money into it, and I didn't. But I have a, you know, nice little slice, and it's done well. But I think it will continue to do well. And there might also be the possibility that because it is such a small company, if you are watching it very closely, you may be able to find out, you know, oh, the Boot Hill got their license renewed for another 10, 15 years. And if you can find that out, excuse me, pardon me, if you can find that out kind of before it gets widely known, which you very well could.
I call it, I have a word for it. I call it information arbitrage.
There you go. That's a good word.
Which is really only available in the nano and microcap space, I have found.
Yes, or 99.9%. Yes, I agree with you.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, there's the exception makes the rule.
Right. Yeah, so if, you know, and they may announce it that, you know, the Boot Hill Casino has got a 10 or 15-year license renewal, you know, Tuesday afternoon at, you know, 2:45, that gets released in the press. You know, how many people are really watching this company? Well, there are a few, but not, you know, not a whole lot. That may present an opportunity in the future. You know, somebody says, hey, you know, this sounds like an interesting speculation. There still may be that upside there. You know, or, you know, there could be the possibility that they get bought out, or, you know, something interesting happens there. But so you'll have these things that occasionally will happen with these small cap companies that, it, you know, it's just a lead pipe cinch back when I was looking at it, you know, October, November of 2018, that you knew management was saying, we've settled with the state. We're going to get a huge cash payment, you know, for that tax dispute. And then also, you know, we've got FAA mandated work. You know, if you want to have these airplanes flying, you have to have the work done on them. And Butler is one of the very few companies that is authorized to do this work on, you know, those certain classes of airplanes. So you just have a lot of interesting little things that aligned properly here
it's an interesting situation, and there's a lot of moving parts that could go right for you, and if they don't go right, it seems like you have a good cushion with the book value.
Yes, the owned properties, the owned airplanes, and also those airplanes are probably being depreciated under accounting rules quicker than what they are actually depreciating. So if Butler went to sell those airplanes, they may actually have to take some type of gain. Now, I don't know that 100% for sure, because I don't know, you know, my airplane values.
You don't really need to. I don't think.
Right. Yeah. You just have to be, you know, are you approximately correct? You know, there's that saying by Warren Buffett, you don't have to know if a man weighs 350 or 370 pounds to know he's fat.
Yeah.
You know, you just know he weighs over 300 pounds. You know, that's good enough to get you, you know, where you need to go. So that's been one of my interesting little things that's been going on here. There are other instances and companies where this type of information or this type of situation will occur. Now, to take a step back, you know, from the specifics of these different situations, if as an investor you can come across this one time a year, you know, you don't have to make a whole lot of trades to have very good results if you make, you know, excellent moves, good trades with some of these small caps. So, not that I would necessarily say, oh, you should only make one trade a year, but, and I do make more than one trade a year, but, you know, I'm not making daily trades, weekly trades, or even monthly trades. You know, I may trade on a quarterly basis. So I guess what I'm saying is you don't have to come across, you know, if you can get these very, very, very high quality situations and ideas, you don't really have to get a whole lot of them to really make a good return over the long haul. You know, if you can do about one a year, one or two a year, you know, you're well on your way. So, excuse me.
That's okay.
So that would lead me to another potential possibility here. I don't know if it's as good as Butler National, but...
Why don't we save that for another episode?
Oh, okay. Okay, you want to switch to another subject then?
I was saying let's stick to just Butler for this episode, and we can have further discussions and topics, and I'll bring you back on for future episodes.
Okay, very good.
All right, well, hey, it's been a pleasure having you on, and have a great rest of your day.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Eric. Yep. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast with Eric Schlein. If you'd like to connect with Eric for questions, comments, feedback, ideas, or to inquire about being on the show, please contact Eric at intelligentinvesting@gmail.com. So, in the words of Charlie Munger, I have nothing to add.